All right, would you turn, please, in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 3. As you know, Paul is writing to this church, and, you know, he, in verse 6 of the first chapter, he says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel." And Paul continues in chapter 3, where he really kind of lets them have it. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Now, there are two words in just those two sentences that I've read, foolish. What does Paul mean when he calls them foolish? Well, Paul is using a word which has the idea in the word itself of someone who can think but fails to use their powers of perception. In other words, they can think logically, they can think factually, but for some reason, and I think we've all done this, think of a time when you've been mad or upset or in an argument, and you kind of set the logical things to the side. Well, apparently that's what this church has done. They're not really using the valid information that they have received. They know it. The knowledge and understanding were there, but they weren't using them. That's a little bit of the background of the word that Paul uses, foolish. It's a Greek word, and it just means they're not thinking in terms of what they know. And then this other word, bewitched, that's an interesting word as well. Bewitch has the idea that these Galatians were under some kind of spell. Now, I don't think Paul meant this literally, but their thinking was so clouded and so unbiblical that it seemed like some kind of a spell had been cast upon them. You ever had that happen before? I remember years and years and years ago, I had just gotten into the ministry in the sense that I had left the job that I had, and I had been asked to come on staff at a church over in Bellflower. And one of the big things that they were doing was they had purchased this old theater, and this theater had been empty for many years, and so the church was going to refurbish it and make it a wonderful sanctuary of the Lord, which it is today. But we had just started on this big project. It was a huge project, and one day we took a break. And I remember standing out on the boulevard, and this beautiful, brand new, I mean, the paper plates were still on it. This truck pulled up, and to our amazement, one of the key fellas on this team of workers was driving the truck. And he pulled up, and he says, "John, you gotta drive my new truck around the block." And I was a little bit nervous about driving this brand spanking, shiny, you know, glossy truck that didn't even have the regular license plates on it yet. But I jumped in and I drove it around the block, and I was so nervous. I really didn't enjoy the drive at all. I thought, you know, I'm gonna scratch this thing. I'm gonna do something to it, and I got it back. But what had happened? Now this fella, he had a nice car. I thought to myself, what does he need this multi-$1,000 truck for? And I never said anything to him, but he did take the truck back. And later on, he said to me, he said, "You know, John, I just fleshed out." And I thought, what does that mean? Fleshed out. And then I got it. You know, he had just sort of catered to his fleshly instincts, and he had seen this truck, and he went and put a down payment on it. I'm sure he would have been paying for it for many, many years. But fortunately, there was a little loss involved, but he took it back. And, you know, maybe he was a little bewitched. I don't know. But that's exactly what Paul says happened to these people. They were foolish. They didn't get the picture that God had given them through the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were looking elsewhere. In fact, Paul goes on to say, let me read verse 2. He says, "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain?" Now, probably what Paul is talking about here in verse 4 is the experience that Paul had shared with him when he was in Galatia. You can read about that in Acts chapter 14. Paul suffered greatly. In fact, in one of the cities, he was stoned and left for dead. And these fellowships that Paul started in Galatia, they had probably gotten some of that persecution that Paul had received. And so Paul writes to them, "Have you went through all of these things? Was it in vain? What's going on exactly here? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" So once again, Paul asks that question, is it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, I think all of us at times have, been sort of pulled away from our relationship with the Lord. Now, God still loves us. God's still ready and willing to work in our lives. But we've turned from walking by faith to, being in this situation where we're thinking, I need to do this and I need to do that to somehow maintain my right relationship with the Lord. And usually that happens when we have, gotten a little bit bored, gotten a little bit away from the Lord. And I'll tell you why you get bored with the Lord. You get bored with the Lord because you're not in the Word. You're not seeking the Lord. You're seeking other things. But, we know the Lord, so we got to do something, right? So we manufacture these things that will somehow keep us in good with the Lord. And this had happened to the church there in Galatia. Now, we don't know exactly what happened, but it would seem that Jews who knew the Lord but had not really come to that place where they really acknowledged the fullness of their salvation in the Lord. In other words, they were still into some of the Jewish works that they had done prior to meeting the Lord. And when they met the Lord, they said, "Yes, that's good that Jesus was crucified and we receive him as our Savior." But they felt that they still had to follow these ritualistic Jewish works of faith. And they came to Galatia and they shared with these churches. And by the way, this isn't just one church. This is several churches that have gotten involved in this works kind of trip where they are following the flesh rather than the Spirit. And so Paul is going to give an example. Now, he chooses Abraham for several good reasons, but one reason that he chose Abraham is that many of these Jewish people who were, going around and telling people about their particular brand of religion. They're really not teaching what Paul was teaching. Paul was teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what is the gospel of Jesus Christ based on? It's based on faith. We receive Jesus by faith. We begin to live for him by faith. We pray to him, and as we pray, we sense God's leading in our lives as we are following the Word of God. But it's a faith walk, and you know, a faith walk wasn't quite good enough for these people, these Jewish people that were going around. They were also talking about these works. And so the churches in Galatia were into the works. And so Paul is going to use Abraham as an illustration. He says, just as Abraham, quote, believed God and it was accounted to him for unrighteousness. You notice that's in quotes. Why is it in quotes? Because that is a very, very important verse. It's right at the beginning of the Bible. It's in Genesis 15:6. And that really is expressive of how Abraham received the Lord. He didn't receive him by works. Now, I'll tell you something right now, and we'll hit on this several times in this study. You cannot inherit salvation by works. It is by faith. That's the gospel that God gave to Paul, and Paul faithfully taught that gospel. And he had taught it to the church in Galatians, these churches in Galatia, and they had walked away. And so Paul is seeking to get them back on course. So he says concerning this verse that God gave to Abraham, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Now that's kind of an interesting thing that he says to these people in Galatia, because the Jewish folks that came there and got them onto this sort of works trip, they actually believed that many of them, that they were genetically related to Abraham. Now, I'm not genetically related to Abraham, but I'll tell you something. By faith, I am, you know, a son of Abraham. And my faith relationship is far more important than the genetic relationship that some of these people had. And it says in verse 8, in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham before, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. All the nations, the Gentile nations, the United States of America, that's my nation, that's where I received the Lord Jesus Christ. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, what Paul is pointing out here is that, you know, some people think that, well, if I do this works thing, maybe they don't think of it in that way, but they're thinking, if I do these certain things for God, which in fact are works, and I show a little faith, I'm going to be okay. But again, this is really important. Works and faith are following two different roads, and those roads lead away from each other. If you are following the Lord by faith, you're going to be close to the Lord. There will be times where, of course, There will be trials along the way. There will be times where you may not feel close to the Lord, but by faith, you are close to the Lord. And Paul points out here that if you decide to justify your walk with works of faith, it's not going to work. He says, no one is justified by the law in the sight of God. And why is that? Well, because it says, again, this is an Old Testament scripture. It's in Habakkuk 2:4. It says, the just shall live by faith. Very good. The just shall live by faith. And it says, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Listen, this is what this is saying. This is saying, if you decide, now, who would ever decide this? Who would ever think this? But there are people that if you ask them, are you going to heaven? They'll say, yes, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. Well, by saying they're a good person, they are essentially saying that I am faithful to keep the law of God. But God is saying, listen, if you're going to do it that way, if you are going to go to heaven by keeping my law, by keeping the law of God, you've got to do it all the time, and you've got to keep all the law. Now, I don't think I have to prove to you that that is impossible. I think all of us know that, well, I can do some of the law some of the time. And let me just say that there are times when we do the law, and it's a great blessing. The law is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all. The problem is what the law tells us is that you can't keep the law, because we might, you know, there might be some aspect of the law that I enjoy. And, you know, I say, wow, this is, I can't wait till I do this. But there are other parts of the law that you not only don't enjoy, inwardly, you don't even want to do it. You don't even want to do it because it just goes against your old nature. Your old nature. The fact that you are a sinner. We're all sinners. And that nature is deeply embedded in our lives and in our hearts. You know, I bumped into an old friend. This is a really old friend. This is a friend that he and I played together when we were quite young. We lived nearby, and we had many adventures together. He was a mischievous kind of guy, and I wasn't as mischievous, but I was easily led in that direction. And somehow God brought us back together. He did not know the Lord back then. But he not only knows the Lord, but he is a very accomplished Bible scholar. And we were having lunch the other day, and just I hadn't seen him for 35, 40 years. It had been a long time. And we were talking about the way that the Lord brought us to himself. And we both made similar comments, and the comment went something like this. You know, we were raised in Christian homes, and we did what our parents expected us to do to demonstrate the fact that we were Christians, but we really weren't Christians. We didn't, whatever we prayed, we didn't really mean. We hadn't come to that point in our lives where we were really convicted by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, now there came a time when we did feel the very extreme conviction of the Holy Spirit. He was, you know, I was in my young 20s when I experienced that. He was a little bit older. But we really came to that point where we bowed before the Lord And those things that we had once thought were not so bad were in fact evil and despicable in the eyes of the Lord. We understood that we were sinners. You know, isn't it interesting that there are people, and we talk to them. I talk to them. I'm sure you've talked with them. And we're not being judgmental here. We're just stating the facts. These people are sinners. I mean, they're using drugs. They're doing these things that are against the very will of God. And we know that they are, but you know what they always say, or so often they say, is, well, I do this, but it really isn't so bad. You should see what, and they talk about somebody that lives down the street, and because they use more drugs or because they beat up more people or whatever the case, because their sin is so much worse than their own sin, it's okay. But the Bible says we've all sinned. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Now, what a sad situation it is when we come to the Lord, we repent of our sins, we start going down the right way, and then somebody comes and says, you know what you need to do? That's good that you've asked the Lord to come into your life. That's good that you've asked God to forgive you. But what you really need to do, and they give you some prescribed religious trip that you have to go on, and that's what happened to these Galatians. And so Paul is saying to them, if you're basing any aspect of your salvation on the law of God, you're in big trouble, because the only way you can be saved is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. This is, I think we know this, but I read this and it grips my heart. It says in verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, how did he do that? It says, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You say, it's written in the Old Testament. They didn't have crosses back then, because that's how we often reference the cross of Jesus Christ. We reference it as a tree. But you know, in Old Testament times, we can read about this in Deuteronomy, there were people who sinned so wickedly before the Lord that they were actually executed and hung on a real tree. And that is what this is making reference to. And of course, the cross became known as a tree. And when Jesus was crucified on the cross, he was cursed. He was cursed even by God the Father. He was cursed by God the Father. He was cursed for me. He was cursed for you. He took the curse that I deserved, and he bore that curse, and he was cursed by the Father. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, what a tragedy. What a tragedy to receive the Spirit through faith and then begin to go in a different direction that denies the work of the Holy Spirit, that denies the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and instead we're doing some kind of religious trip. And, you know, our minds are 1,000 miles away from the Lord. Oh, we come to church and we, we sing some of the songs and we agree in prayer, but really, that's about the extent of our spiritual life. We're not walking with the Lord on a day-by-day basis. We're not embracing the Lord. We're not reading His Word. We're not available to minister to people who do not know the Lord. We don't even think about that. We're into our own lives. We're into the things that we like to do. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. And so Paul realizes the mistake that the Galatians have made. And I'll tell you just one danger of doing that, particularly if you are a mom or a dad. If you do that, expect your children to do the same thing. You can't tell them, well, you need to walk with the Lord, and then you not walk with the Lord. They look at your example, and it's very important that we are faithful to every day, every single day, to acknowledge the Lord, to spend time in His presence, and to be growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so important. God has made that promise that you'll know the fellowship of the Lord, that you'll grow in the Lord, to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made. It's interesting that that word seed is capitalized. It's capitalized in my New King James Version of the Bible. And it's capitalized because that seed is ultimately the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are in Jesus, and if we are walking in Jesus, we will experience that growth. You know, that growth that takes place in wonderful situations, and that growth that takes place in situations that aren't so wonderful. That growth that takes place in situations where we're thinking, oh my goodness, what's going on? That growth that takes place in situations where we know what's going on and what's going on is not good. Still, we are centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you that know the Lord, you've been there. You've had those experiences where the news is not good. It might be a physical condition in your own body. It might be something that's happened to one of your kids. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And you focus on the Lord. And even though the news is not resolved, you have the peace that passes all understanding because you know the Lord and the Lord has got you. And what a blessing that is to know that the Lord is holding us. And I would say to everyone here today that is a part-time Christian, and there are a lot of part-time Christians. There are people who, one day in the past you did receive the Lord, but you very rarely spend time with the Lord. And consequently, you're not growing. You're not growing at all in the Lord. It's important. It's important that every day, I don't care how long you've known the Lord. I've known the Lord for a long time. And I've got to be in the Word every day. I've got to be spending time in prayer with the Lord every day. And as you do that, you will grow. You will grow. But if you don't do that, my goodness, you can know the Lord and you can be surrounded by people that don't even have a clue. They don't even have a clue. Because when you're outside of an environment like this, you're just like all the others. You might be a little bit nicer. You might be a little bit better. But see, that's not what makes you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is that you know the Lord and you are experiencing His presence. And as you are experiencing His presence, people notice that you're different. And, you know, often it's by something we say, but they sense the fact that you're different. And it's so important that we walk the walk, that we don't just say who we are in the Lord. We are people that love him and that walk in the way of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you that there are many people here. You've waited a long time for them to come back to you. And there are some here that perhaps don't even know you. They haven't really received you. And Lord, we thank you that you're faithful. You're faithful to wait till we're ready. And Lord, I first of all want to pray for people that maybe that description kind of fits them. They're part-time Christians. They're recognizable here on the church grounds. But the rest of the time, they just blend in with the world. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts this morning. And then, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that for those that don't know you, Lord, there may be people here that are just waking up even as we are praying this prayer that they don't know you. I pray, Lord, that they would receive you, that they would tell you that, Lord, I need you. I need you to come into my heart. I need you to forgive me. I need you to give me the new start that only you can give me. I pray that they would do that, and they would do that today. And then, Lord, perhaps there are people here that they're searching, and I pray that, Lord, they would come to that conclusion that as they give their hearts to you, the search is over. So, Lord, we ask that your will would be done today. Whether it's drawing people back that have somehow adopted some kind of religious trip to make everybody happy, or perhaps it's inviting people that have never met you at all. Lord, would you do the work that only you can do? And would you do it now? And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? I pray God's blessing upon you today. I pray that for those of you that have started down the wrong road, the works road, that you would be alert enough to know that that's got to change. And for those of you that don't know the Lord, today is the day. We'll have pastors up here. You can talk with them, you can ask them questions, but they would love to pray with you and allow you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, as their Lord and Savior, as your Lord and Savior. So, I pray that that's the reality today, that all of us, as we leave this place, we would think carefully about our relationship with the Lord. Just evaluate. Just see where you're at. In Jesus' name. Now, sit down for a minute. I just want to share something from my own heart. This church became Calvary Chapel 25 years ago, and we're very thankful to the Lord for what he has done over those 25 years. And we believe that God has many things that he wants to do in these final days before he comes back. Having said that, I just need to tell those of you that are committed to this body, that we are undergoing a serious financial thing. I don't know what to call it. We have savings. We have not come anywhere close to meeting our expenses through the offerings that's been going on for about a year. I am extremely hesitant to even mention those things, but I've had a couple of people in this church that have encouraged me to at least tell you that there is a problem, and that if you as a church would pray, and I'll just leave it at that. We just really need God to work in our church. Now, I can't help but say that, you know, we live in the midst of an area where there are not many Christians living in this area. There are some, and I rejoice for them, but we need to fill this church up. If we filled this church up for two services, that would certainly, well, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. I just want to tell you that there is a serious problem, and I would ask you to pray. I'm not going to bring it up again, but I just thought that because of the depth of the problem, it would be a good thing to bring up. I guess the last thing I'll say is that for over a year, I have not received a salary, not because of low finances, it's just because God has blessed me abundantly, and I don't need a salary, and I'm thankful for that. But we do need expenses to, we do need monies to cover the expenses of this church. So I thought I'd mention that to you, and you can pray, and I'll leave it at that. So stand back up again. And Father, we're so grateful for this church. And I thank you for all of the things that you have done in us and through us. Lord, this is your church. And I pray that we, who are your people, many of us have been wonderfully saved. And Lord, when it comes to the final analysis, we owe you everything. And I pray that, Lord, this church would always be a place where people can come and that their lives can be changed. I pray that, Lord. And I pray that you would use this body, your people, people who will call by your name, to be men and women who joyfully give. Lord, I'm not trying to get anybody to give that doesn't want to give. I just want people that are joyful givers and believe that you will take care of the people that give to you. So, Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.